everyone. This is Abby Garcia, and I'm your host for Thoughts on That, a podcast where we splice and dissect our thoughts into one little episode. And it's actually been a hot, hot minute. We've taken a break. We're back from our break, long needed break. And that break is due to burnout, believe it or not. You know, I think these times, especially 2020 and the anxiety and the paranoia that comes with COVID, and especially with the US election, things can pile up on a person. And so that is what I have been experiencing. So thank you all, our dedicated and loyal listeners, for staying tuned with us, for keeping us afloat and supporting us in our break. Really appreciate it. And you know, during that break, I realized, you know, burnout is not a thing that is talked about as much as we should. You know, I mean, I feel like nowadays burnout is a lot more popular to talk about, but I think over time in general, it hasn't really got much light. And so I wanted to share my own thoughts on burnout. What is burnout? What are some other symptoms of it? Why is there such an increase in it? And what are some ways to prevent it, or at least realize the cycle we're in and try to break out of that cycle? What exactly is burnout? I found that this definition really suited it well. Burnout is the chronic state of physical or emotional exhaustion that involves a sense of reduced accomplishment and loss of personal identity. It's a direct result of excessive prolonged stress. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I feel like, especially with what's going on in the world and our current pandemic and just all the environmental factors, what's happening, I'm sure one of a few people have experienced burnout in my listenership. So I'm going to first off speak from my own experience. I probably have been experiencing burnout for longer than I have noticed. And that's the scary thing about burnout, is that sometimes you have symptoms, but you don't realize that it's all linked to burnout. And because of that unawareness, because of just kind of brushing off the symptoms of burnout, we can definitely worsen it. And that's the hard part, right? With burnout symptoms, which include body aches, whether it's like body pain or stomach ache or digestive issues, to like feeling cynical about work and colleagues and distancing yourself from your coworkers or your friends as well. And in my experience, burnout can definitely make you feel negative and find it hard to concentrate on tasks. So definitely there's a brain fog that accumulates over time. And the thing with burnout as well, some of these symptoms like a headache or just sleepiness or fatigue, you know, when we first experience them, we kind of brush them off as like, oh, I'll get sleep this weekend. And then weekend comes and we never really rest, you know, at least in my experience. And then the next week comes, you're still experiencing these symptoms, but it's a cycle, right? You just keep pushing it off until you crack. You ignore them, you ignore the symptoms, and you are literally burnt to your end until you realize, oh, my body is legit like breaking down. And that's what happened to me. So I think for the past few months, really, I've been working a lot at work with videos and video production, and classes I've been getting into swing now, so that's taking a lot. And I've also been doing a lot of side projects, as many of you know, not just this podcast, but a lot of volunteering online, and I'm in the middle of preparing for grad school. So it's a lot. And you know, as someone who prides productivity, especially we've talked about this in the other episode, it's hard to just take a rest, right? But the sad part is that you have to get hurt in order to realize, oh, I need to take care of myself. At least that's what I've been doing. Like, it takes me, my body to like scream at me in like physical ailments and like bursts of tears in order to check myself. So I'm sure a lot of you know that 2020 was indeed a year. It still is a year. We're still in November, folks. And our brains are on a constant loop of COVID, family safety, masks, washing hands, and recently, if you're a U.S. citizen, the U.S. mail voting system, or if you're not, you know, the world has been really turning their attention to what's been happening in the U.S. as well. Racial injustice, Black Lives Matter, so many things. And that's just the external factors in our environment. We also have our personal things going on as well. So in my case, my own personal health, my work functions, I have to clean, right? We don't get time to clean. All these small little details really add up. And without a scheduled break, without the incentive and motive to take care of yourself, we can just collapse. And a lot of these breakdowns, these fatigues and these burnouts can actually really impact us for the rest of our life. Burnout can look different for many kinds of people, whether it's physical ailments, whether it's social distancing in a way that is kind of detrimental to your mental health. All of these things can lead to prolonged distress, whether it's physical distress, emotional, mental, social. I feel like these things can add up over time, especially if the more you ignore it. So to help, we should obviously try to take breaks, but also realize that burnout is part of a cycle, right? Like, even though we've recovered from burnout, it seems like in our day and age, in 2020 with the pandemic and everything, burnout seems like it's inevitable, but it doesn't have to be that way. But the first step that we can take is that realize how we experience it. How do we get to that point? And so in my experience, I've experienced burnouts couple of times in my life, and I'm sure you have as well, is that we work like a normal day, you know, because everything's normalized to work and just get that money, capitalism, you know what am I saying? Anyway, so we keep working and we work harder and harder, especially as the year progresses, deadlines come and such, and we get burnt out eventually. And then so we notice that we are burnt out physically and like, oh, we have to take a break. And then so we take this break and then we recover, right? And then, okay, burnout is solved. But no, it's not that simple, I realize. And, you know, it's part of a cycle because as soon as we recover, we get straight back to working like nothing has happened. Like, you know, we just bounce back. And over time, I feel like that can be so dangerous because essentially we're kind of like shaping and conditioning our bodies to be used to burnout when we shouldn't even be burnt out in the first place. And technically speaking, burnout historically has been related to work. It is work-related stress. However, I think with the current situation, I think burnout is a mixture of all of the factors, whether it's work-related or socially or just like internet. I think all of those factors can contribute to burnout. And I think that's especially hard when now there's such a fine line between work and home, considering many people still work at home, right? You have a desk next to your bed, and as soon as you wake up, you're literally in your workspace. And so that can contribute to the lack of boundary that you have between your work and your home. And again, that can contribute to burnout. Like when you're sleeping, you may be inclined to go straight to work right after, or like maybe you can't sleep, so you're going to just work on something and then you're going to just keep going and chipping at your soul that way. And so by trying to prevent this burnout that's related to work and the fine line between work and home is possibly try to change your workspace, right? So instead of having your desk next to your bed or working from your bed, essentially, a lot of folks, it seems like, is that they kind of allocate a separate room if they have the privilege of having another room for their workspace. Or perhaps they have a divider, or maybe go into some ritual where it kind of makes you enter your workspace in a different mindset, right? So you can have that fine line, or not that fine, the thick line, mind you, between your work and your home. And another thing is that a lot of folks also tend to answer work-related emails after hours. And I am also guilty of this, right? Because you want to be more productive. But in that sense, you're not giving yourself the time you need to rest. You know, like, it feels good to get things done when you're, like, out of work. But you are, you know, you're stealing time away from yourself. And so a great way is to just turn off your phone, or at least turn off the notifications, or maybe even block your email, your work email, until the next day. And that is hard to do, I know. Speaking from experience, right? We say these things, but it's harder. It's easier said than done. And I think burnout, or at least preventative burnout behavior, comes with time, as anything does. And another thing is the human connection that we need. I think for me and my personal experience with burnout, I tend to distance myself more from people. I find that social interactions tend to be a little more exhausting after I've been experiencing burnout. And actually, that can make things more severe, right? Because there can be a time where burnout can turn into depression if you don't address the burnout, if you don't address your physical health. And that's so scary, right? Because burnout and depression seem very similar. Like, the symptoms actually are shared, but burnout, I think, is more tuned to your external factors around you, whether it's work or your environment or all the tasks you have to do. And with depression, you know, no matter how much you try to change your external environment, you still have a mental illness, right? Like, with depression, most people have to live with depression and then have to navigate that for the rest of their lives. But with burnout, I think that we can take a lot more different measures and see results quicker. But again, burnout can lead to depression as well. And so having to see the symptoms before it's too late, and you can start taking care of yourself before you get too burnt out, and then you stay in this burnout and it eventually turns into depression. And so, yeah, back to human connection. I think even during burnout, when you're still kind of just working like as a cog, as a robot, you're still wired for human connection. You know, as humans, we still need that. No matter how much we want to put it off, I think any little bit counts. So, for example, I saw my friend, and to be honest, I wanted to stay home and play Fortnite because I did not want to interact, and I thought that any social engagement would be so exhausting when all I just need to do is sleep, you know. But that's what happens, right? When you sleep and you cut yourself off from the rest of the world in ways that, oh, it's self-care, but then continue this cycle, then I think that can lead to a little more serious and severe cases like depression. But so I just pulled myself out of bed and I just said, okay, just some dinner. And you know, laughter does wonders, folks, right? You can never predict what's gonna happen in a social interaction. You know, when it's genuine friendship, right, you can't curate that. And so I met my friend and we were just joking around about like SpongeBob and things. And it was funny. I mean, it was just like toilet dumb humor, but it was still funny to be cherishing each other in that moment and kind of escaping from like all of the world. And I didn't know I needed that until I kid you not, I felt the serotonin, the dopamine, legit rising in my brain. I'm like, huh, I needed this. And so realizing what social interactions can help you and support you in that way versus other social interactions and engagements that will, you know, emotionally and mentally exhaust you more. So having that boundary within your relationships, I think, really helps with burnout. And yeah, we can do so many preventative things to prevent burnout, but I feel like there are larger organizations and jobs and employers that can definitely take part in preventing burnout, especially since majority of the time burnout can be work-related. So, I mean, if any CEO or any big corp or any employers listening to this, maybe realize what you're doing to your employees, right? I think employers need to stay hyper-vigilant in the health of their employees and find other programs or just support, right? Especially during these times. I think in another story, I think healthcare workers are going through so much and like they're taking care of people constantly. And it seems like there doesn't seem to be a lot of programs, at least in healthcare, where they take care of each other, right? I think there's still a lot of stigma in terms of like mental support, mental health. And so because there's a lack of that, there's more of a risk for burnout. And I think we need to create a culture where help seeking and help giving is good, especially within a place of employment, right? Where there's more counseling, where there's more support programs, and maybe even coaching of how to better handle our mental health or prevent burnout or, you know, have boundaries. And, you know, I'm thinking about it now. It just came to me that as an English teacher in Korea, there wasn't really a guideline or any resources available to us as foreign English teachers of mental support or mental health support. I think as an individual, we had to seek that out ourselves or just ask around, right? And like do it secretly. I currently see a doctor for anti-anxiety and for also mental health reasons. And I had to find that over time, right? It's not just given to you. I think it's also due to the stigmatization of mental health and mental illness, but it's not just in Korea. I know it's worldwide. And I think stigma keeps people from speaking out about their needs, right? And so that's with burnout. If we don't address the needs or have preventative measures, which is like mental health support, then burnout is a huge risk. And it just seems like there aren't enough resources out there. So I just hope within the next few years or hopefully soon that we can create more resources that are not just heavily available, but like just administered by the general public. It's easy to access these resources if you know people. But the thing is, we shouldn't have to search it, right? We should have these resources available like as part of like the everyday thing. Anyways, I digress. There's so many ways to prevent burnout, and I'm sure we all have our own ways of trying to prevent burnout in a healthy way, hopefully. But let's say you already experiencing burnout, like me. I'm still actually experiencing burnout right now as I record this podcast. And I told myself I was not going to record, but I felt like I was in the middle ground of still in my burnout to talk about it enough. And in doing this episode, I'm realizing I'm feeling so much better because it's like I'm essentially talking to a therapist and I'm just talking to y'all, which I'm so thankful for you all kind of just listening to my burnout rant now. And it's just really releasing some energy out there. That's some stale energy that has been sitting with me for a long time. And so I'm thinking maybe with burnout, it's just talking, right? Just talking to a wall, talking about how you feel in the moment. Because I think that physical verbalization really just changes something within you. It seems like the best thing to do, at least if you're experiencing burnout already, it's to acknowledge that it's okay. I feel like it can be very easy to beat yourself up about it because you haven't been taking care of yourself. At least in my case, I felt so guilty that I got to a point of burnout and that even made me feel worse, right? It's okay to get burned out, right? We're on a journey of taking care of better care of ourselves. And the first step is to acknowledge that it's okay to like give ourselves permission to feel burnt out. Right? And I think realizing that and just staying and holding with that sentiment in that sentence, it kind of removes the resistance against burnout. And that can be a lot more seamless in terms of our transition. And then hopefully the next time, or hopefully not the next time, we just don't experience burnout at all. Because at that point, hopefully we have been able to implement strategies and rituals to prevent burnout, whether it's like mindfulness or scheduling a healthy diet or exercise routine, whatever. Hopefully that in time, we can just prevent burnout altogether. That's why it's so important to like be proactive about your mental health, even if you're not feeling symptoms, right? So if you're like feeling all dandy and happy and, you know, everything's fine and normal, Keep going, keep doing these rituals, keep having these self-affirmations, keep getting enough sleep, right? Even if you feel like you're on top of your game, now's more important than ever to keep that flow going in terms of self-care. I think it's so easy to like just let ourselves go when we feel so great. Like, for example, like, oh, I feel so good. I can totally stay up for like the whole night and like binge watch this season while like finishing two bottles of wine. I mean, I feel like sometimes after it can be so dangerous to just jump into that black hole of just like self-indulgence. Of course, we can treat ourselves, but I think what's the boundary? What is the line of where treating ourselves in a healthy way versus like overindulging? And it just snowballs from there, right? And then burnout, bam. Whew. Like I said, that was cathartic for me just to talk about burnout and all my thoughts on that. Anyway, thank you so much, listeners, for staying tuned and for being patient with us through this process. And let us know, what are your thoughts on burnout? How do you feel about burnout? Do you experience it right now? Or what are your symptoms of burnout? What are some ways that you can not only deal with your burnout when you have it, but prevent it for the next time around? How do you think society is handling stress, burnout, especially in a 2020 pandemic period? And for our listeners out there that may be suffering from any mental health illness or just slumps or anything, just know me as a host, as a friend, I am here for you to speak to. And I think any bit of emotional social contact would be good to be beneficial to your health. And if not, there's definitely some resources out there. So one that I'd like to mention, we're not sponsored, it's mentalhealth.gov. That is mentalhealth.gov. And they have a bunch of resources, whether in terms of disorders or any other mental health resources or community events. There's also different lines or websites on there that you can look into for support. And I just want to show you that I care and that there are resources out there. Anyway, if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, please consider leaving us a nice little review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us so much. Or consider sharing and commenting on our Instagram and YouTube. Again, we are available on all the podcast platforms you can find. And if we're not, let me know and I'll work my magic. Anyway, thanks so much for listening and we'll see you next time on Thoughts on That. In the meantime, stay lit. Of course, like in the healthy way.